It's time to lead the people. The show for aspiring leaders at every level. If you want to boost your self-confidence, get noticed, and maximize your impact by leading others, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Matt Pepsel. Ready to lead? Follow me. My very special guest is a passionate advocate for transforming workplaces into havens where employees are not just heard, but truly valued and empowered. Drawing from her personal journey navigating toxic and thriving work environments, she's on a mission to guide businesses in creating intentional employee experiences that fuel growth, engagement, and loyalty. She is Amber Lynn Bryant. Welcome to the show, Amber.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I am too. We've only had a couple of quick conversations, but I've loved every one of them, and I know I'm going to love this podcast interview all the same.
Here's hoping for it. Fingers
crossed.
There
we go. So I think we should probably give listeners some context to start. You work for a company called Key Renter. Can you tell us a little bit about Key Renter and the work that you do there?
Yeah. So Key Renter is a franchise of a bigger company, but we are located in Denver, Colorado. I do work remotely out of Texas. But what we are is a property management company. So the idea is to help owners of individual single family homes, maybe multifamily homes that are investors and need somebody to help manage that property. We help them maximize that. But my particular role within the company is the people and culture director. So what's really exciting for me is I get to be part of the scaling company and creating an entire department from scratch and finding all of their people processes.
I love it. So I'm hearing growth. I'm hearing scalability. Got a lot of fast moving people challenges, and you're on the culture side and doing all that great people work.
Yes.
Perfect context. So now one thing I know in the conversations that we've had, you impressed me as one of these HR professionals who's really attuned to business impact, which I absolutely adore. Why? My question for you though, was that always the case for you as you were coming up through the ranks, or was that something that kind of grew for you over time?
Yeah, I would say it wasn't always front and center, or I wasn't always aware of it. I had my fair share of working in those toxic environments and, you know, trying to push through and find your way in life and that passion that really fulfills you. And I find that I'm a person that's really just hardwired to work, get it done. I also do have a tendency to lead when I walk into a room. And so in my work life, I found that I tended to be in those situations, even if it wasn't a formal situation. So lots of my work life still showed up that way, even if it was a toxic environment. But was really excited when I got shown through an opportunity to work with a retailer I was working with, where they just totally blew my mind in culture. It was like, I didn't even know it existed. I didn't even know businesses cared about employees. I thought, you know, like a lot of people, you show up, you work, you're at their will, and you know, you got to do what you got to do to make that money so you can make your rent. But to work for a company where I could walk in and it was all people centric, like they cared about my goals, they cared about work-life balance, they cared about who I was, you know, outside of working for this retailer. And so, yeah, it was the moment that I just had this like aha moment of, oh my gosh, like if you take care of your people, if you create a different experience for your people, then they're just going to soar for you. Because again, I'm one of those people, I'm hardwired to do a good job. I want to show up well. I always want to keep moving up, and I'll do that in a toxic environment. But when you give me a thriving environment to do that, holy guacamole, the amount of success I've been able to have in shaping culture and moving companies forward has been significant since having that realization.
I haven't really thought about it that much, but you're right. There are certain types of people that can power through just about any environment. But then when we put them where there's a great fit, positive culture, then they really take that to the next level. Yeah. But not everyone can do that. And I think you're really hitting on this interrelationship, if you will, between the culture and how it impacts the employee's experience and how they perfect the performance and therefore what we can invest in the culture. It's like, it's all in there. It's so cool.
100%. Yeah.
Now, one of the things I know you had told me is at Key Renter, I'll fast forward to a little bit further along in your career trajectory here, you had used a combination of different personality assessments, behavioral assessments. You've been doing it for a while, but I wonder if you might tell us a little bit about that journey overall.
Yeah. So again, Key Renter is a small scaling company. And so what I was really excited about with them when I started working there about 3 years ago was one of the first things they did was send me a personality test. And that was the next moment for me where I was like, ooh, this is like next level in culture. This makes me know they care about who I am. And so I remember being really excited about that. And it was great. Like, we had a wonderful resource where we got to know ourselves a little bit more. It put words to, you know, how you feel, but you can't really articulate it. And so it was really good to get to know that about ourselves. And we used it for team building, and we used it to get to know each other when people were onboarding. But that particular model was really based on one individual who ran the company who did a lot of private one-on-one coaching with us, which was phenomenal, but not scalable, right? And as, again, we're a scaling company, so I'm not looking to stay at 40 employees. We're looking to go to 250, 300 employees. And so how can we scale this product? And I remember having conversations with her, the owner of that company, about like, how can we put this and really integrate it within the company and it not just be this high level thing? And that company went in a different direction. And so that's when I started looking for other opportunities to really be able to find a product that I could really integrate within our culture.
I love it. And I think one of the things that we always talk about is self-awareness. Really, nothing can change until we have self-awareness. No improvement can be had, et cetera. And that's where I really love the role that, that these different types of behavioral assessments can play in helping us demystify almost.
So one
of my questions is, did you have any sort of tendencies for workers to either feel more engaging and welcoming of this type of insight, or did you experience any resistance at all? Like, how did they land on that?
You know, to my knowledge, nobody really resisted it. I think one out of maybe 40 people said, oh, those results didn't resonate with me. And then we'd kind of work through them, talk through them, and be like, wait, well, what does resonate and what doesn't? And then they'd realize, oh, well, actually, maybe I'm just not so self-aware. But for the most part, I think we have a culture. We've been very clear about our culture and our hiring and all of that, that we are really looking for people that are willing to grow, willing to be part of the solution, and really do want to be transparent and know who they are. That's kind of part of my whole process. So when you come into Key Renter, it's kind of already expected that's what's going to be. So I haven't had any big pushback, but I have had a lot of aha moments where, again, it's like people think, man, like, you just put words to things that I knew about myself, but I couldn't articulate. And so there's a certain power that comes along with that, and a certain belief that you get about yourself that, like, man, maybe I can reach another level.
It is amazing too, that you're making me think about the difference between, like, let's say a mid-career worker who takes one of these assessments and is like, oh, wow, this explains so much. I wish I would have had this a long time ago.
Yes.
But early career professionals too, they're like, wow, this is amazing, because, you know, I didn't know this about myself. So it really benefits in both stages of the career journey.
Absolutely. Yeah. It gives you a kind of like a little foundation or a roadmap. If you resonate with it and you want to run with it, then it gives you a good path forward.
Yeah. And the podcast is sponsored by the Predictive Index. One of my favorites of this example of a behavioral assessment, because it's really brief too. And I think that the reaction I always get is, how did you know so much for an assessment that took so little time for me to take, which is always fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's super cool, but that's the science behind it, right?
It totally is. And so when you think about these insights and having them available to us, like, what changes for a manager, for example, or even an employee, once we have these types of insights? It's great to have them and say, oh, I learned something about myself, but what actually changes on the job?
Yeah, well, if you plan on implementing it, not it just be a high level thing, then what really works, at least for us, is that we really start to understand who a person is, right? And so then that helps you to be able to approach any one-on-one meeting, any conflict, any just regular hangout sesh with being able to really personalize information to people, at least for me in an HR way. But then in a meeting situation, it's great because it helps to really understand the whole person, and then also helps managers that may or may not be super intuitive about their people. It helps to give them a framework of where to start from. So I think it's a really good, again, foundation for people to kind of understand other people. And so if they want to go in there, help them lead, get through a problem, they have a frame of reference to work from, instead of just, because, you know, reality is, perception is reality, and you usually only go off of how you feel, what you think, what, you know. So if you're managing just from your perspective, then it's not always going to land the way that it needs to. So I think these tests help to really understand the whole.
Yeah, you're hitting on one of my first real leadership awareness moments, which was not everyone's like me. Not everyone has the same preference as I do. And I think we all go through that. And it's so amazing to see it in clear as day when you're looking at somebody, you're like, oh, yeah, you're totally different. Now I can see it.
Yeah, totally. Great.
Yeah, and I think that you mentioned also around the managers, when being able to understand and to quickly understand what makes someone tick, for example, I see that in our organizations, we seem to be changing more than ever, or faster than ever, I should say. We're changing sort of the charter of what a team's working on, the members of the team. And so being able to accelerate that assimilation, you know, being able to say, okay, we've got this new group of people together working on a cross-functional project. Let's see what the data says real quick, just to understand what we're, you know, what our tendencies are, what our preferences are, where we might see some friction can really make things go fast.
You know? Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I can even attest to that. I just onboarded. I had an employee that worked at a different position, moved over to another one, and now is partnered with somebody who would be a new manager. And the very first thing I did was get into the PI, talk about the data. And it's really been actually mind-blowing. And I'm not just saying this for fun. Like, it really has been crazy, because I had that meeting, and it's almost like the development has just like been so much quicker, and there's so much more on the same page, and they know what the other one needs. It's just more clear.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned it a little bit earlier. Sometimes managers or any given person might be a little bit more intuitive, and some are just, it's just not a strength that we have. So being able to bring everybody to that level of saying we all have the same information. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're counting on managers to be like, you know, you're just naturally good at this. You just have a gut instinct. And that's pretty risky when you think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially because everybody just has so many different experiences and different perspectives. So it's nice to have a framework.
Now, kind of something that's a little bit more complimentary. I know that at one point you were interested in taking your employee review cycle, those capabilities about giving feedback and employee reviews, to the next level. But I wonder if you might tell us, what problem were you trying to solve? Like, what opportunity did you see when it came to working on reviews?
Yeah, well, first I'll say, again, scaling small company, I walked in here 3 years ago and there was a annual review in process, which to me feels like not even, because it's just way too much time, right? And so one of the first actual projects that I started working on when I got to the company was to create a quarterly review process, because I, like you, understand the importance of touching base and helping people understand where they're at, giving that constructive criticism, and just knowing where we're going and moving forward. So the very first thing I did was set up a review, quarterly review process, created my own surveys. And for me, it was based off of culture to start, because again, I think that's extremely important to hire for culture. But now having this added benefit of this PI data is even better, because then it just helps us to, again, personalize, really get in there and have the conversations that we need to have to help us move forward as a company and develop this person. And so it gives us that personalized, customized conversation that we can have in every quarter review.
One of the things that we'll talk about, the periodicity, so to speak, when you think about annual review cycle, a lot of times when I'm talking to HR leaders who have these longer term reviews, I'm like, you may not get a chance to review them if you wait only once a year, because they could be gone. You know, some of these top talent you've worked so hard to get. What helped you to settle in on quarterly as being the right cadence? I mean, you could have gone less, could have gone more. Like, what made that a good fit? I just wonder for other HR leaders who might be listening, trying to say, well, I know how frequent is like the good fit for us.
Yeah, well, I just chose to do a quarterly. The more touch base is, the better for me, really, honestly. I like weekly, I like monthly, I like all that. But to really like evaluate somebody, I feel like a good 3 months every quarter. Plus, as a leader in this particular company, we were meeting quarterly as well to set, you know, the next quarter's goals. And so it just seemed to sync up well. I was able to do that. But yeah, I also still really do prefer a quarter review out of all of them, because I feel like, and I don't know if this is a statistic or not, but they say people forget things like 3 months later, right? So you have objectives, you have goals, you have everybody's on the same page, but within 3 months, somebody's trailing off in a different direction somehow, some way, right? So it's a good time in my mind to be able to bring people back, everybody get back on the same page and know where we're heading.
I love that you really tied it to the flow of the business. You mentioned we have quarterly business goals, so that makes a good candidate for having quarterly review.
Yeah.
And I think you also avoid something that certainly has been established in the literature, which is around recency bias. So if you say to the manager once a year, okay, how's this person's performance? And you're like, oh, geez, I can't remember what they did 9 months ago. So I'm going to give you a lot of what my recent experience has been. And it's just devastating.
Yeah. And I am definitely somebody that knows that you can be in a completely different place in a year than when you were. So there's just so much gold, so many gems in between that time period that you definitely should be checking in.
You're so right. I mean, it's like the business has changed, the configurations have changed, the context has changed. And, you know, you're going to ask me about something from a year ago. So I love that you look to upgrade the review capabilities in general, and also the frequency. But you also talked a little bit there about how you had incorporated some of the behavioral insights, in this case from PI, into the review process itself. Tell me a little bit more about that. So, like, let's say that I'm a manager in your company and I'm getting ready to do my review. Am I interested in my own personality type and my behavioral drives, or am I interested in theirs, or both? Or how do you really think about those two things together?
Yeah, I think starting out so the way that we do it anyways, our review is really about that person in that review in that 30, 45 minutes that we have to go through. And our survey, again, has a lot to do with core values. So we're reminding ourselves where we are there. And then in this particular situation, we would really look towards making sure that we're catering communication and to the person that we're meeting in that particular quarter review. So PI is super helpful for the individual in our reviews in that way. So,
okay. So definitely trying to understand how to deliver the information, the review, help to make some understanding about what you may or may not be seeing, these types of things.
And then from there also, let's say I'm in that quarter review with that manager and that direct report, and then I hear there's some coaching opportunities here, there's some next level. Then what I'm going to do is go ahead and get back to that manager and say, okay, these are some things that I heard. These are some coaching opportunities that we have for this direct report. Then I can get into the PI, really find some ways to, again, reach that person so that we can help develop them.
I talked to a lot of HR people that sometimes feel they're kept a little bit at arm's length by some of the managers because they're just not seen as business relevant, or they're not seen in that coaching role. We've talked about HR business partners at least since the mid-90s, but it doesn't always happen. I guess my question for you, Amberlynn, is when you think about having access to behavioral insights and knowing what you know about the business, how does that help you establish that type of partnership coaching relationship that you were just talking about?
Yeah, I think for me, it's important in any company that I go to that's the first thing I do. The first thing I do is build relationships and make sure that these managers know that they can trust me and that I'm here to help them move forward. And so I do a lot of work up front, making sure that people know that they can trust me and we can have good open communication. From there, the expectation is that, though, I am meeting with you monthly to talk about your direct reports, to discuss how we can coach and move forward. So yeah, it's a standard that I put in place.
It seems like a pretty approachable way to establish that partnership too, because you could say, let me tell you about yourself. Let me tell you about your team. Let me tell you about this individual, this new hire of yours. And all of a sudden you're creating a ton of value because you're like, wow, you're really fast forwarding my process of managing my own team. And then later, as that trust has been built, maybe we go a little deeper into saying, okay, now let's talk about some of your performance gaps as a team. Now let's talk about, and so kind of entering into that relationship, sounds like it might be supported by the data a little bit.
Yeah, totally. In any relationship, there's always going to come conflict, right? And if you have a relationship already built in a solid trust with somebody, then when that conflict arises, you're going to be a lot more interested and willing on working through the problem with somebody instead of just reactive and say, okay, now I'm quitting. I can't believe it. They don't respect me, blah, blah, blah. Because we all know conflict is going to come. So the most important thing to me is building those relationships and then having something like PI where you can really start to understand who somebody is on a foundational level, then it helps to really start that relationship on a good foot.
Well, and I think this is especially important in an organization like yours where you're growing so quickly. Mm-hmm. So at this point, you're starting to talk about, well, now we're going to have more and more new people. There's always pressure to grow. So that conflict likelihood becomes almost inevitable at some point. So have that foundation of trust so that we can keep our partnership going, keep the relationship, you know, while we're navigating what can be pretty personal issues.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Here's one of the things I learned early on when it comes to leadership. The best leaders know how to build trust and motivate their people. And there are two ways you can do this. The first is to spend a whole bunch of time you don't have fumbling around and trying to figure out what makes the people around you tick. I wouldn't recommend that approach. The better technique is to use readily available tools to fast forward the insights you need so you can spend more time leading and less time playing guessing games. One of my favorite people first tools comes from the Predictive Index. The Predictive Index, affectionately known as PI, makes it easy to understand what each individual on your team needs out of a manager so you can personalize your leadership approach to get the best results. I can tell you with 100% certainty that the PI tools work for me, and they'll work for you too. I was first introduced to the Predictive Index way back in 2007, and it changed my leadership. 10 years ago, I joined the company, and I've been proud to contribute to the development of talent optimization and the PI tools that make it possible in organizations of all shapes and sizes. Using PI, you can coach, motivate, and develop each of your direct reports on their terms so you can move up in your career with less stress. Visit predictiveindex.com to learn more. To make it even easier for you, I'll put a link in the show notes. And now, let's get back to the show. Now, we've been talking a little bit about reviews, but whenever I'm coaching managers, I'm trying to help them take that next level to truly become leaders. I like to talk about the importance of all the things they do day to day, right? So they have meetings, they've got team meetings, they've got one-on-one meetings, et cetera, providing feedback like we've been talking about a little bit. And even, like you said, setting goals and doing these sorts of things. When you're thinking about these things, how do you marry up sort of the day-to-day activities that the managers in this case are performing and then doing that alongside having the types of behavioral insights that you've always had access to?
So it's only enhanced, obviously, all of the touch points that we have with our employees. I mean, in every way, shape, or form, it's only enhanced it. But for the managers, what it really does for them is, it helps them to really be able to understand the strengths and maybe even some limitations that their direct hires have. And it really helps them in their one-on-one meetings, in their department meetings, being able to move teams forward. And even for my bigger managers that have teams underneath them, you know, it just, again, it just is a really good tool to help keep everybody moving in the right direction.
It's so true that when you, for example, when I have one-on-ones, I know to tailor the one-on-one to meet the needs of the other person. So if I have somebody who's highly detail-oriented, I know that they're going to take copious notes, which is great, but can I help them stretch into those other areas that are a little bit more about relationships across the business, for example?
Yeah.
Or the same is true for team meetings. You know, when we start to have teams that are full of these big idea people who love to get their fingerprints on things and talk a lot and never write anything down, you're like, okay, maybe we should do some more note-taking. Otherwise, we're not going to shift into execution. We're just going to stay in idea land all the time.
Definitely gives you a framework. Even just like the other day, I was doing interviews for, I forget what the position was. I'm hiring like four people right now. But I was doing an interview with somebody, and, you know, normally we kind of switched the flow. We looked at the PI beforehand, and me and the hiring manager decided, you know what, let's switch up how we usually do this. Let's really give them all the details, all the structure up front, because they were somebody that really would value that, and do a lot of the upfront talking, which is not normally what we would be doing, and kind of flipped it on the head, and immediately afterwards got praise for saying, thank you so much for doing it that way, which I just have found really, really interesting about PI in general. Because, like, yeah, you hear about a tool and it can help, but for real, I am seeing it in real time make difference in people noticing right away, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's almost like it can happen in stages. Like when you know someone's behavioral configuration and you can kind of meet their needs, it eases them into whatever it is that we're trying to do, whether it's to have a trust building meeting or whether it's whatever it might be. But then over time, you can show them and take them on the same journey that you might have gone on earlier to say, not everyone who's around you is like you. And maybe, you know, your detail orientation, which is a strength, is actually not meeting the needs of some other people who are on your team. So could you see how, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, and then their insight goes to that next level too.
Yeah, totally.
It kind of happens in it's almost like a step function. Once you understand for yourself, you know, then you can say, okay, now I know a little bit about my own natural tendencies. I understand one other person. I'm like, okay, now I can tailor a little, at least parts of what I do to meet their needs. And then when you get to the group context, it's now, oh, okay, now I'm managing a much different dynamic. It's complex. Without the data, it's almost impossible.
Unless you're intuitive.
Yeah, exactly. Unless you're that intuitive, which some of us are not that gifted, but that's why we need the data. But I think also, you know, you mentioned growth that's happening, but even if you look beyond Key Renter, I know you're so active in the space and you've got such great insights. when you look to the future of whether it be the HR field or just the nature, I think you led us to the top about people inside of organizations. Like, what gets you excited in terms of thinking about this intersection of people and business?
Yeah, I think that one, I think that's all it really is. It's all about people, honestly. And if you fail to realize that, then you are going to fail in business as time continues to move on. Because I really truly believe that being a people-centric business in general, or focused in life in that way, is really where we're headed. Wish we've always been there, but I really feel like that's the key, is really being people-centric. But the future of this for me too, what I'm really excited about is especially with PI specifically, is how to be able to take this information and really personalize it in every touch point of the employee journey, not just in meetings, not just for managers, but even in, you know, my role in the HR and person, like I, for instance, I've been creating drips that are personalizing onboarding experiences for each type within the PI, right? And so there's just endless opportunities to be able to personalize the experience for the employee. And what that does in return is, again, it really helps somebody to grow and to develop into the best, hopefully best versions of themselves while they're with you. And if that's a short term, then you get the best of them in that moment. And if it's in the long term, then you get the best of them later. But either way, everybody's growing and developing together. And I feel like that is what business should be about, doing something together and making it grow.
I agree 100%. And I think when we look at our normal day-to-day experiences, certainly when it comes to technology, it's a little bit easier. But when you shop on Amazon, you're getting a curated experience that's personalized for you. The same is true with Netflix or, you know, your TikTok feed or anything else. It's everything is hyper personalized because of the analytics and the data that we have.
Yeah.
But the work experiences haven't caught up.
Yeah. Right?
And
yeah.
So I'm thinking about the future and I'm like, well, we have the data and we know the positive psychology behind all this stuff to make organizations work better. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we are getting to a point where platforms, you know, like PI and others can start to help us, you know, remove some of that guesswork and deliver more of those personalized experiences in the moment of need, as the manager saying, hey, friendly reminder, you might want to do this now.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Those types of things are starting to happen, which is really exciting.
Yeah, it really is. I'm loving to see the change that's happened over the few years.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right too, that the future of work is people. The technology that has continued to escalate, you know, at one point it displaced workers on an assembly line. Now with AI, it's starting to nip away at things that used to be distinctly human, but the truly human bits, the parts that, you know, HR professionals like yourself have excelled at for so long, are really the domain of future of competition in my mind. I think that if you want to be one of these organizations that stays competitive, you got to give people meaning and purpose and belonging and affiliation and all these things that, you can't just say, yeah, HR, okay, stay over there. No, this is happening.
There's just so many opportunities out there in the world and so many places you can work and so many things that you could do, that if you are not intentional about your employee experience and making sure that every touch point makes them feel something and not bad, it makes them feel like moving forward. Like if you're not doing that, you're going to be left behind for sure. Yeah.
And that's where I think the managers need tools. They need help. They need training. They need templates. They need all that good stuff. So let's give it to them, right? Yeah.
Yes.
All right. I dig it. Well, Amberlynn, I'll get you out of here with my easiest question of all, which is, where can listeners go to learn more about you? Maybe they've got some follow-up questions.
Yeah. So I have a LinkedIn profile that you absolutely can find me at, but Amberlynn Bryant. And then I also have a website, AmberlynnSolutions.com. So either of those places.
Excellent. Listeners, I'm going to have those links for you in the show notes. So you're only one click away from learning more about Amberlynn and all the great work that she's doing. Amberlynn, thank you so much for being with us and sharing some of your time today. I really appreciate it.
Same. Thank you so much for having me. It was a joy.
Here are my totally transparent top three takeaways from today's episode. 1, know thyself. Self-awareness is a gift. Ensure that you're creating a culture where workers want to learn about their natural tendencies and potential snags. 2, slow down to go fast. When welcoming a new hire or standing up a new team, resist the urge to dive into the work right away. Take a few minutes to learn about one another to accelerate long-term performance and cohesion. 3, partner up. Optimal organizations get that way due to a strong partnership between line of business leaders and HR partners. People dynamics are too complex to leave to chance, so work together to help one another succeed. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Strong reviews help shows like mine get noticed. And be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss your next opportunity to learn, lead, and live at your best. Thanks for making this investment your leadership ability, and thanks for sharing this podcast with another aspiring leader who needs to hear it. All right, leaders, until next time, don't just manage the business when you can lead the people.